Here's a special offer for Issues Etc. listeners. For any size gift between now and the end of the year, we'll send you a CD of a Christmas and Epiphany sermon preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin. You can donate online, issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. And for any size year-end gift, we'll thank you with a CD of one of Todd's Christmas and Epiphany sermons.
To add another name to the ridiculous list tonight, someone you probably never heard of. Her name is Dr. Jennifer Morse, and Morse is the founder of something called the Ruth Institute, which is a project of the National Organization for Marriage, which is a group that's very opposed to marriage equality for gays and lesbians. Dr. Morse is on the list tonight because she's upset about this, the rainbow flag that's been a symbol of the gay rights movement for decades now. Dr. Morse apparently believes that gay people have stolen the rainbow, and she wants it back. Morse says the rainbow represents God's promise to humanity, and it shouldn't be a symbol of gay pride. There has to be some way that this can be worked out. Maybe Dr. Morse can get three colors, gay and lesbian Americans can get three colors, and I don't know, maybe share green.
That's CNN's Anderson Cooper of AC360 talking about, well, it's his ridiculous, as he calls it, and Dr. Jennifer Robach Morse, one of our regular guests, has made it onto his ridiculous. The rainbow is the biblical symbol of hope and of promise and of salvation, and it has been for a long time also the symbol of gay pride and gay activism. I don't think sharing is going to work out too well, and I don't know if the point is that no one can own the rainbow. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. on this Tuesday afternoon, the 21st of December. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We'll talk with Dr. Jennifer Robach Morse, get her reaction to CNN's Anderson Cooper, reaction to her. Then Dr. Nathan Jastrom joins us. We'll continue our series on apparent contradictions in the Bible today. The making of images, which is at one point forbidden and then commanded, and then human sacrifices, which is certainly forbidden, and then actually becomes the means by which God saves the world. It's Tuesday afternoon, December the 21st. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Our email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, or send us a tweet at @issuesetc. Dr. Jennifer Robach Morse is founder and president of the Ruth Institute, based in San Marcos, California. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason Universities, and she's author of the book Smart Sex and Love in Economics. Jen, welcome back.
Hey, thanks for having me on, Todd.
Well, congratulations for making Anderson Cooper's and CNN's Ridiculous. It's quite an honor.
Well, I guess so. And I all of your listeners who have been hearing me all this time should forward this clip off to all of their friends and tell them that they ought to join Issues Etc. and join the Ruth Institute mailing list and all of that stuff, because we're now celebrities, Todd. That's what that means. So I'm excited.
What's your reaction to Anderson Cooper? His response to you is, no one owns the rainbow. If you try and take it back from gays, you got to take it back from Judy Garland singing about it in The Wizard of Oz and Rainbow Bright and Skittles and all those kinds of things. What's your reaction?
Well,
to
my
his
reaction, you know, is slightly bemused. I mean, obviously he didn't read the original interview, because in the original interview I was making the point that the gay pride people don't own the rainbow, you know, and if you're going to go back far enough, it was in the first book of Genesis, you know, it was in Genesis, the first book of the Bible, that the rainbow was given to the human race by God as a sign of his covenant, that he'll never again destroy us, no matter how badly we misbehave. And, you know, by my calculation, that's about 2,500 years prior to the Stonewall riot, where the gay pride people decided that they were going to use the rainbow flag, you know. So if we're going to go back here, let's not be ridiculous. Let's not be completely ridiculous and go back to the source here, you know. But what has been surprising to me, Todd, is that I'm getting two sets of reactions. On one side is the kind of reaction Anderson Cooper is saying is, oh, come on, this is not a big deal. But then on the other side, there are certain gay activists who are saying, you can't take that back. We own it. We've had it since 1963 or whatever they're claiming, you know, and you can't take it back. And besides, if you start putting a rainbow over your kid's crib, you know, that you are training them or preparing them to be pro-gay in some way, you know. And if you look at the article that was written by the Compost, the Washington Post blog about it, you will see them saying all of these different connections where people use the rainbow for all kinds of things. And if you really read it and see what they're saying, you will see, I think, that the gay pride people who adopted this symbol knew perfectly well from the very beginning that they were taking something basically innocent and attaching their own meaning to it and thereby claiming it, you know, and thereby assigning meaning to it that would cover everybody, so that it's hard for a Christian preschool to put a little rainbow up in their preschool for all the kids with the little animals 2x2. You know, that's harder now than it was. And I think they knew from the beginning that that's what they were doing, that this was a deeply subversive thing that they did, and they knew it, right? And so now little old me is raising her hand and saying, I'm going to call you out on it. And now they're all in a titter over it. If it was really no big deal, how did I end up on Comedy Central and the Washington Post? You know, I've written tons of analysis about same-sex marriage. Nobody's ever been interested in that. Now all of a sudden I point out that the rainbow has symbolism beyond gay pride, and they're all hysterical about it. It's really quite humorous in a way.
Well, it's really interesting, and I think there is an ironic analogy here. We've talked about it before, that just as the gay activists, some of them, are saying, no, the rainbow belongs to us, and if you claim it for any other purpose, you're trying to steal it from us.
Right.
They're also claiming, with regard to marriage, the right to marriage belongs to us, and if you deny it to us, even if we never had it before, you are taking something away from us that we already have.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So it's a kind of argument by appropriation, you know. It isn't really an argument. Oh, what's that legal principle? Possession is 9/10 of the law, you know. I'm sitting here with it in my lap, so it belongs to me, you know, and the presumption is that it belongs to me, kind of a thing. So by claiming it repeatedly, that's the basis of their assertion that it belongs to them, you know, and not any kind of reasoned analysis. No reason here, just repeated assertion.
Well, one of the things that Anderson Cooper said in his description of you was your connection with the Ruth Institute, and that your connection with the National Marriage Group. And he says, this is how he said, opponents of marriage equality.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
Yeah. That's their term. You know, we've talked about this before, Todd. You know, they're always promoting marriage equality and saying it's all about equality, equality, equality. The reason they say that is that's the only argument they have. And I have shown many times that marriage equality is a logical impossibility, because if you redefine marriage to include same-sex couples, to make it equal, it's not marriage anymore, right? And if it's going to be marriage, which has some significant component that has to do with procreation and attaching mothers and fathers to their children and to each other, if it's still going to be marriage, there are going to be intrinsic differences between same-sex and opposite-sex couples that make more sense for the government to have different non-equal institutions between same-sex and opposite-sex couples. So it's either not marriage or it's not equal. So marriage equality is logically impossible. But of course, Anderson Cooper doesn't want to talk to me about that. He wants to talk about symbolism, thinking he can make me look bad, and thinking he can have some fun at my expense. But I honestly think the last laugh's on him.
Now, speaking of symbols, is marriage itself, as the institution, simply symbolic for many gay activists? That is, do they want into the institution because they really want marriage, or because it symbolizes something greater than the institution itself?
Yes, I think that's a very good question, you know, because I think there is a component of this debate that is symbolic. And I'm hesitant to answer the question in exactly the way you put it, because I honestly don't know what's in the hearts and minds of other people. But I do think that you've hit on something significant, which is that one important component for advocates of same-sex marriage is the strictly symbolic component, and that it feels good to them to be part of this institution that has such strong emotional affirmative power in their minds, right? Now, so the symbolic aspect is important, but I also think that this whole incident that we're having here demonstrates that there is a subversive aspect to the whole thing, that by choosing an innocent symbol and making it look like it's has to do with gayness, like the rainbow, that was a subversive act, and I think the behavior of so many in the gay blogosphere is showing that they have known from the beginning that it was a subversive act. And I think it also, by analogy, that in the quest for redefining marriage, there is a component for some advocates of that position that is deeply subversive. That is, they see introducing same-sex couples into marriage as a way of diluting the power of marriage to actually structure people's lives, so that once marriage becomes open to same-sex couples as well as opposite-sex couples, there's no particular reason why marriage needs to be lifelong. There's no particular reason it needs to be sexually exclusive. There's no particular reason it needs to be only two people rather than multiple partners. In fact, there's no particular reason it even needs to be a sexual relationship at all. All of the defining qualities of marriage don't have any point to them if you're going to have same-sex couples, if you're going to say it's the same thing for same-sex as opposite-sex couples. And I think that some of the advocates of same-sex marriage know perfectly well that that's what they're doing.
Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morse is founder and president of the Ruth Institute based in San Marcos, California. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason Universities, and she's author of the book Smart Sex and Love and Economics. Folks, check out the website and the blog for the Ruth Institute. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click Listen on Demand. Jen, thank you, and Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you, too.
When we come back, we've got our Apparent Contradictions in the Bible series ready to fire up again. Here are a couple tough ones, and these really are somewhat difficult. In the Old Testament, there's a clear command against the making of graven images, and then God turns around and commands that his people make graven images. Is that a contradiction? Is there a contradiction with regard to human sacrifice in the Old and New Testaments, too? Dr. Nathan Jastrom will be our guest.
Here's a special offer for Issues Etc. listeners. For any size gift between now and the end of the year, we'll send you a CD of a Christmas and Epiphany sermon preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin. You can donate online, issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. And for any size year-end gift, we'll thank you with a CD of one of Todd's Christmas and Epiphany sermons.
We have some great programs lined up for you during the Christmas season, and here's an easy way to invite your fellow parishioners to listen. It's a special church bulletin insert for Issues Etc. Christmas programming. Just go to the support page at issuesetc.org, download, print, and make copies of the Christmas programming bulletin insert. The bulletin insert can be used for the weekends of December 18th and 25th. Talk radio for the Christmas season. Issues Etc. issuesetc.org and click support.
Contending for truth in an age of anti-truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The latest edition of the online Issues Etc. journal is out. It contains an article that I've written titled The Theology of Jesus. What's the connection between the Church's Confession of Christ and her Confession of the Trinity? Find out with the latest Issues Etc. journal. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Pastor Mason Beecroft writes about the false promises of Pop American Christianity. Get your copy of the latest Issues Etc. journal by sending your name and email address to journal@issuesetc.org.
Here's a great resource for Sunday school teachers. Mondays, we interview Deaconess Pam Nielsen of Concordia Publishing House about the upcoming Growing in Christ Sunday school lesson. You'll find these interviews under the Listen on Demand page of our website, issuesetc.org. Listen to a 20-minute interview with Pam Nielsen, and you'll be prepared to teach Sunday school this weekend. Issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand and look for Teaching a Sunday School Lesson with Deaconess Pam Nielsen.